Parshas Balak, which, as we all know, is the famous episode where Balak, who's the king of Moab, king of Moab, right? Balak was a Midianite who was appointed king of Moab. He gets the leaders of Midian together with the leaders of Moab, and they send a delegation to Bilam ben Beor. Bilam was the prophet of the Gentiles, who was believed to have tremendous powers of mouth, that those he blessed would succeed, those he cursed would fail. And they go to ask Bilam to go out and to curse the Jewish people. Balak was afraid of the Jews. He was afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu, the power of prayer, the spiritual merits that were helping the Jewish people. So he figured he would use the great spiritual forces of evil, of Bilam, to get the Jewish people down. And as we all know the story, initially Hashem tells Bilam, who are these people, why'd they come? Bilam says, well, they're important people sent by Balak to hire me to curse the Jews. And Hashem says, Lo Ta'or Ta'am, you can't curse them. Ki Baruchu, the people are blessed. So Bilam tells the delegation, I'm sorry, I can't curse the people, tell Balak, I can't do anything. Because Hashem said no. So they go back, and this time the Midianites give up on Bilam, but Balak keeps sending the Moabites, and he sends them back to Bilam. Listen, do you think I can't reward you? You think you're not going to get money? You'll get a lot of things. It's going to be great. Just come out and curse the Jews for me. So Bilam says, well, you have to ask Hashem. I have to see what he says. And Bilam again tells Hashem, you know, these people came. They've asked me to come curse the Jews. And Hashem says, you can go with them, but whatever I'll tell you to say, that's all that you'll be able to say. So Bilam says, the next morning, guys, Hashem gave me permission, I can come, but I can only say what Hashem will tell me to say. And then we have the famous story of Bilam on the donkey, and the donkey goes off track three times, eventually on the third time just sits down in the middle of the road, and Bilam gets very upset, he starts hitting the donkey, and the donkey then, Hashem performs a miracle, opens up its mouth, and it talks back to Bilam, and says, listen, the reason why I went off the road, there was an angel in front of us to prevent us from going, and, Bilam says again, listen, Hashem, if you don't want me to go, I can't go. Hashem says, no, you can go, but remember, you'll only be able to say what I tell you to say. And eventually when Bilam and Balak meet up, so Bilam has Balak build these altars, seven altars, and to offer karbanos on them to try to get onto the good side of Hashem and then to curse the Jews. And each time Bilam opens up his mouth, instead of curses, what comes out of his mouth are blessings. He can't say anything bad about the Jewish people. So there are a lot of, you know, very beautiful ideas in this week's Parsha. Just to share a few of them. In the beginning of the Parsha, Balak says, Atayu lachachu hakahal eskol svivo senu. Now the community, the kahal, are going to lick up, they're going to eat up all that's around us. Kilachok chashor et yerek hasadeh, like an ox eats the grain, the grass of the field. So therefore, it's so necessary to curse the Jews that they don't consume all of us. So the Sheik Mishmuel points out that throughout the Parsha, the Jewish people are referred to as Am. Hinei ha'am hayotzei mitzrayim. Hinei yoshev mimuli. Vayechasas ein ha'aretz. And suddenly here, instead of being called ha'am, the people, they're called ha'kahal. Ata now yelachachu hakahal eskol svivosenu. So why aren't they called ha'am? So the Shem Yishmuel says something very beautiful. Hakahal refers to the collective quality of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is a special power, that there's a great unity underlying Klal Yisrael. That this Jew is one way and that Jew may be very different. You know, one Jew might be Shomer Torah Mitzvos, another Jew is not yet keeping Torah and Mitzvos. But even despite these terrible differences, there's a great underlying unity between all the different members of Am Yisrael. And that's referenced by the fact that our name is HaKahal, the Kehila, that which is united together. So Balak is afraid. He's afraid of the Jews. About what of the Jews? Atayalachachu HaKahal is called Svivosenu. This group of people that might be a Kahal, this group of people that have the power of being united as one. And that's something unique to the Jewish people. We have a famous Rashi. Rashi points out in Parshas Vayigash and then in Parshas Vayechi, the Torah describes Yaakov coming down to Egypt with the word Kol HaNefesh LeBeis Yaakov, all the soul to the household of Yaakov, Shivim Nefesh, 70 soul. So Rashi says the plural form of the word should be Nefashos. Why Nefesh? So Rashi says, contrast this with Esav. Esav had six souls, and it's described as Nefashos LeBeis Esav. So Rashi answers, Bnei Esav, they worship multiple gods. Because they worship multiple gods, they can't get to real Achdus, to real unity. But the Jewish people, because they worship only one God, because we believe in monotheism, that's why the Jewish people can get to a real unity, to a real achdus, to a real oneness. And that's the phrase, Atayalachachu HaKahal is kol svivosenu. Now the Kahal will eat up all that's around us. That the other nations, they are, and Bilam, and Balak, and Moab, and Midian, they never have unity within their own group. Each one has their own objective, their own self-interest, and they're all going in different directions. But to see a nation where some speak only French and others speak Russian, some speak German and Italian, but they're all Jews. Some keep mitzvahs, some unfortunately don't keep mitzvahs, but they're all Jews, and they're all united as Jews, that's a great force. That force of kahal, of unity, is stronger than all the other nations because they're all disunited. They're all divided amongst themselves. So that's what the Medrash says, that when Balak asked Bilam to curse the Jews, he said, "Va'agarshenu min ha'aretz," and I will expel them from the land. So the Zohar says what it means is, Balak was only asking, let's make sure that the Jews don't enter Eretz Yisrael. Agarshenu min ha'aretz, let's keep them out of the land. Now, how's that going to help Balak? Balak's not in Eretz Yisrael, he's outside of Eretz Yisrael. The answer is that the Maharal tells us that the law of Arevus, that all Jews are responsible for each other, that if one Jew doesn't do a mitzvah, it's as if I didn't do that mitzvah. And if I do a mitzvah, it counts for me and for him. The law of Arevus only begins once the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. Entering Eretz Yisrael is what creates the Achdus of Am Yisrael, the unity of the Jewish people. The sense of Kahal is when we are in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he's saying, Ata, what's frightening to me is Yelachachu HaKahal is kol svivosenu, the Kahal will consume, will eat all that's around us, all of our nations, whether it be Canaan or Emori or Hiti. None of us have the power of unity the way Am Yisrael has the power of unity. And so we're worried that this united nation with the Koach of Achdus will come against us and then we won't be able to defeat them. You know, it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik, he once gave a drasha for the Mizrahi, where he spoke about how he felt that there are really two kedushos to Am Yisrael. So there's one kedusha to Am Yisrael that was born through what he called Bris Sinai, the covenant at Sinai, where we accepted to keep the Torah and mitzvahs. He said, but there was another covenant that was also made with the Jewish people, well before Sinai. That's the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant of the pieces. There wasn't yet a Matan Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, Ger Yes Aracha Beretz Lo Lahem, your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own. Ba'avadum, V'inu Osam, they'll be afflicted, they'll be tortured 400 years, and then they'll leave with great wealth. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what's that all about? You don't have Matan Torah yet, and yet we have Galus, and we have afflictions, and we have a promise of redemption. So he said that there are really two aspects of Am Yisrael. There's one aspect of Am Yisrael, which is that we're the nation that has the Torah. And Hashem gave us the Torah, and He gave us the mitzvot. So when we fulfill Torah, learn Torah, and do mitzvot, we get Kedusha, we become holier people. But there's another element of Klal Yisrael, through the Bris Ben Absarim, that the Jewish people have a unique fate, a unique destiny. It's a destiny that's different. The history of the Jewish people is different than all the other nations of the world. We're a small little group, surrounded by enemies, afflicted, persecuted, even though we don't deserve all of those afflictions and persecutions. And despite all of that, we ultimately will overcome it and we'll survive. That, let's call it Jewish nationalism, or the unique fate of the Jewish people, that's also a source of Kedusha. And part of being a Jew is to be loyal to both brisos, to be loyal to both covenants, to be loyal to the covenant of Torah and mitzvos, and to be loyal to the covenant of Am Yisrael. That we're part of Am Yisrael, the fate of Am Yisrael is our fate, and we care for all members of Am Yisrael, even those who don't keep Torah and mitzvos, because we know that their fate is our fate. And we are all united with this commonality, with the being part of Am Yisrael, being members of the Bris Ben Absarim. Now that second Kedusha, the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, is the Kedusha of the Kahal, of the collective community, that all Jews have a common denominator, just that we're Jews, that's it, that we have this unique national mission, the mission of Jews. When the Jewish people connect, and that's really connected to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is always the place that unites the Jewish people, and that's really what we've seen, that Eretz Yisrael has been the place that all sorts of Jews, Jews who are observant, Jews who aren't observant, but that there should be a Jewish state, and the Jewish state should be protected and defended and supported and developed. That's something that's there for all the members of Am Yisrael together. Because that's the achdus of Am Yisrael. It comes from Eretz Yisrael. So what was frightening Balak is Atayelach Achu HaKahal is called Svivoseinu. I'm worried about this group of people becoming a Kahal. I'm worried about them uniting. I don't want them to enter Eretz Yisrael. I don't want them to get that unity of Bris Ben Absarim, the unity of feeling responsible for each other. In fact, the Shem Yishmuel says that one of the deepest and most powerful religious ideas is that Hashem Echad, God is one. When the Jewish people unite, that brings the Kedusha of Hashem being one down onto earth. There is a feeling of the oneness of Hashem in the presence of the united nation. And when the power of the oneness of Hashem is felt, no one can defeat us. It's not just a beautiful idea, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayihi b'Yeshurun Melech. And it was amongst Yeshurun, amongst the Jewish people, the king. The king was amongst the Jews. When? B'Hisasef Rashei Am. When they gathered together, the leaders of the nation, Yachad Shifte Yisrael. Together the tribes of Israel. So what Balak was most afraid of was that the Jewish people would unite through getting into Eretz Yisrael, and then they'd defeat everybody. And that he didn't want, no matter what. So he asks Bilam, curse the Jews, and keep them out of getting into Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps, suggested the Shem Yishmuel, based on that, we can go a little bit deeper in terms of understanding how Bilam and Balak were trying to harm the Jews. Bilam and Balak were trying to put impurity into the Jewish people. This is based on a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that we know that there is a mitzvah called Bal Tosif. We're not allowed to add to a mitzvah that Hashem gave us. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if a lulav needs to be tied together, lulav tzarech agad, you need to tie the lulav to the hadasim and the aravos, then if you would tie the lulav together with something other than a piece of lulav or a piece of hadas or a piece of arava, it would ruin the group. It would ruin the group. You wouldn't have the binding together of just these elements. So you'd have to use one of these elements to bind them together. So you see that when you bring a foreign element into a group, into a homogeneous group, that breaks up the whole group. What Bilam and Balak were trying to do was to bring Tumah into the Jewish people so that the Jewish people wouldn't be united with each other. Bilam tried to do it by trying to curse the Jewish people and bringing all sorts of powers of Tumah into the Jewish people. And when that didn't succeed, so then Balak and Bilam together came up with the idea of bringing in non-Jewish women. That's the end of the parsha, that the Benos Midyan started to marry with the Jewish boys. So again, bringing in a foreign element would break up the agad, would break up the union of the Jewish people. And one of the powerful lessons from this week's parsha is that when the Jewish people are united, Yilachachu et kol svivo seinu, we can overcome all of the enemies. None of the enemies can withstand the power of a united Jewish people. Because Vayehi b'Yishurun Melech, the king himself, Hashem himself, is resident amongst Am Yisrael, b'is asef, Rashi Am, when the leaders of the nation gather together, Yachad Shivt Yisrael, with the union of all the tribes of Israel, then there's nothing that can withstand the power of the Jewish people. That's one thought. Another thought that the Shemi Shmuel has, again a very powerful thought, is there's a basic question. Hashem tells Bilam initially, you can't go. Okay, you can't go. So then Bilam sends the emissaries away, they come back, he asks Hashem again, Hashem says, okay, you can go, but you'll only be able to say what I tell you to say. Bilam gets excited, he saddles up the donkey himself, he gets on the donkey, starts going, and the pasuk says, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. And Hashem got angry that Bilam was going. What's Hashem angry about? He just gave Bilam permission. So, Bilam's going because Hashem gave him permission. So why is Hashem angry? So the Shemi Shmuel said, the pasuk says, "Vayichar af Elokim," God got angry, "ki holechu," Bilam is going. Should have said, "Vayichar af Elokim," God got angry, "ki halachu," that he went. God got angry that he went. What do you mean, God got angry that he is going? Why suddenly switch to the present tense? So he said, Bilam was someone who was so excited about the idea of cursing the Jewish people that first he went because God gave him permission, and then he forgot all about the fact that God gave him permission. It became a new thing. I'm going to go curse the Jews. Suddenly that was gone. It became a whole other new thing. I'm going to really destroy the Jews. Then it became a whole other new thing. Every second he thought of a new way and a new reason of what he was doing. He had a constant sense of chiddush, of renewal. And that's what got Hashem upset. If you're going, thinking, okay, I'm going because God lets me go. That's one thing. But ki holechu, that he's going, that he's coming up with new ideas, new justifications. It's a new idea. Every second it's new and exciting and so thrilling. He's going to curse the Jews. That gets Hashem upset. Now the opposite of Bilam should be our attitude to the study of Torah. In the Chodesh Elul, we're going to merit to say the chapter of Tehillim, again and again, L'David Hashem Ori. And in L'David Hashem Ori, we have a series of psukim. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem osav akesh. One thing I ask of God, that's what I seek. Shivti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. That I should sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachazos benoam Hashem, to see the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulevaker beheichalo, and to visit in his palace. So the classical question. Shifti beveis Hashem. If I'm sitting in the house of Hashem, I'm not visiting in his palace, I'm living in the house of Hashem. Shifti, I'm living there, I'm the resident. So what's added? I'm going to live in the house of Hashem, I'm going to visit in his palace. The answer is, if a person's living in the yeshiva all day, there can be a deficiency in that. There can be something bad about that. He gets used to being in the yeshiva. There's nothing exciting about being in the yeshiva. So that's where there has to be two things. Shivti b'veis Hashem, yes, to sit in the house of Hashem, but also levaker b'heichalo, to be visiting in his palace, to be appreciating something new and to have constant renewal and new ideas and new experiences. So that's the idea also here in this pasuk on the opposite side, unfortunately. Bilam was a holechu. He was finding new things and new things and new, ever new ideas, ever new, you know, diabolical plots to get excited about. So that Hashem got upset with him. Had he just stayed on, okay, I'm doing the old thing, I'm going to curse the Jews, Hashem allowed me to go, then Hashem wouldn't have been upset. One of the famous questions that a lot of commentators talk about is that when Hashem opens up the mouth of the donkey, the donkey tells Bilam, Lamaz kihi kisani zesh shalosh regalim. You've hit me these three times. Now, shalosh regalim, Rashi tells us, that's a hint to the three festivals. Because could have just said shalosh pamim, three times. Why shalosh regalim? So Rashi says, the donkey was telling Bilam, what a chutzpah you have. You want to uproot the Jewish people. This is the nation that celebrates three festivals. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So why is that the great merit of the Jewish people, that we celebrate three festivals? A lot of things we do. We learn Torah, we give tzedakah, we daven, we eat kosher, we shake lulav, we sit in a sukkah. We have so many mitzvos. We don't crossbreed. We don't wear shatnez. There's so many mitzvos that we do. So why is the one focus, ki kisani zeh shalosh regalim, you've hit the Jewish people. This is the nation that celebrates the three festivals of shalosh regalim. So the Avnei Nezer, the father of the Shem Yishmuel, gave the following answer. He said, this mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim is the opposite of Bilam. Bilam's an interesting character. He's a prophet. He speaks with God. And yet, he's very, very materialistic. Very materialistic. He's very lowly. He tells the emissaries, you know, even if Balak would give me all of his wealth, I still couldn't go against the will of God. So Rashi says, whoever offered him all of the wealth of Balak, no one offered it to him, but he was imagining that that's what Balak should be offering. He was thinking about all of Balak's wealth. And Rashi says that he had marital relations with this donkey, Bilam did. So he was a very, very lowly, materialistic man. How does it come together to be a prophet, talking to God, and yet at the same time to be really the lowest of the low? I mean, Bilam is the one who brings Nus into the world by his advice after the sin of the sins that caused the flood. The nations of the world were more modest. Bilam brought immorality back to the world. How could it be that someone so lowly and so horrible would also at the same time be a prophet? So the answer is that that's really telling us something about the spirituality that's an imperfect spirituality. The imperfect spirituality is on and off. When Bilam wants to talk to God, he forgets about the physical and he's all meditating and attached to God in the moment. But right when he finishes with his conversation with the Almighty, he doesn't want to let go of his physicality. He's back with all the physical things that he was into before. And even worse, and even more temptations, and more desires, and more lowliness, and more averos. He's not really, really drawn to a tremendous passion to Hashem. The Jewish people, though, are not like that. The Jewish people who are loyal to Hashem, they give up everything for Hashem. They don't want to hold on to anything else. They want to be loyal to Hashem without any conditions. The symbol of that is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. It's an amazing mitzvah. Here Hashem tells a Jew three times a year, that's it, walk away from whatever you own. Walk away from your farm. Walk away from your house. Walk away from your animals. Walk away from your fields. Now it's not as if there are other Jews around who are going to watch it, because everybody's going up to Yerushalayim. So the whole nation, people living all over the country, from Dan to Beersheba to Tzfat to Meron, people all over are walking away from whatever they have. All the guards apparently are leaving the boundaries of the country. And everybody's going to Yerushalayim with Bitachon. And Hashem's going to take care of us. And we're all, you know, now we have only one focus. And our focus right now is to fulfill the mitzvah of celebrating Sukkot or Shavuos or Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. So live somewhere in Yerushalayim for a week and to go to the Beis HaMikdash and fulfill the obligation of Liros V'Liraos, to both see the Almighty and to be seen by the Almighty. So that's a tremendous, tremendous, amazing mitzvah. Amazing, amazing mitzvah. And that's something that Bilam didn't have. So the donkey tells Bilam, how dare you start up with the Jewish people? The Jewish people are a people of Shalosh Regalim. They walk away from their Gashmias to serve Hashem three times a year. You're someone who's a Navi and still won't let go of all of your desires and urges. So you think you're going to beat the Jewish people? It's crazy. You can't start up with such a people that are so, so holy and devoted to Hashem. Now, the Maharal has a beautiful explanation of a famous Gemara in the Sechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, a story about the biblical Menashe. Menashe was the son of King Chizkiyahu. King Chizkiyahu was very, very righteous. He brought the entire Jewish nation to observance. They checked, the Gemara says, from Dan to Beersheba. There wasn't even a child who didn't know all of Seder Taharos. They were very, very careful in all matters of halacha. Then he had a son, Menashe, who was a big idol worshipper, who made a lot of idols, who worshipped the idols. So Gemara says that Rav Ashi criticized Menashe. So Menashe, the son of King Chizkiyahu, showed up in the dream to Rav Ashi. And he had a whole conversation with him. And he proved that he knew more Torah than Rav Ashi did. So Rav Ashi said to King Menashe, you're such a Talmud Chacham. Why were you worshipping idols? So he said, if you would have been there, you would have rolled up the hem of your robe and run to worship idols. You weren't in the generation I was in. Had you been in my generation, you would have been much worse than I was in worshipping idols. That's what the Gemara relates. So the Maharal explains, what's this image? You would have rolled up the hem of your robe and run to worship idols. Maharal says, there are two types of wanting to do something. Sometimes a person deeply wants to do something, very, very badly wants to do something. If something comes in his way to prevent him from doing it, he'll pull away that prevention and run to do what he deeply wants. And then there are those who don't want to do things really, but they feel pressured. Yetzer Hara and others are pulling him in the wrong direction, and that's why he wants to do it. Then if something comes which is going to stop him from doing what he wants to do, he's happy, because deep down he didn't want to do it. Great, now I have an excuse, now I was stopped. He's thankful, because really he didn't want to do it so deeply. So Menashe is saying like this, you're not as big a Talmud Chacham as I am. Had you been around when I lived, and you would have seen that how powerful and popular Avodah Zarah was, you would have thought that it's amazing. So you would have pulled away the obstacles to try to get into Avodah Zarah. I worshipped Avodah Zarah, but I never pulled away obstacles. In other words, I did it because I couldn't control my Yetzer Hara, but deep down, I didn't want to do it. That's what the Maharal says. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the same thing is in terms of serving Hashem. The really right way to serve Hashem is to be so excited that this is the command that Hashem has given us, that I'm running to do it. And if there's any obstacle in the way, I want to push away the obstacle to fulfill what I deeply, deeply want to do. because it's my deepest wish. And not to say, you know what, if there's something to stop me, thank God, because it's too hard to do it. I'm glad I have this thing stopping me. There's a very powerful book, one of the basic books of Mussar. It's called Mesilas Yesharim by Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Mesilas Yesharim is based on a brisa of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair listed 13 steps that lead to eventually Ruach HaKodesh, the divine presence. First Torah, and Torah leads to a person being careful. A person being careful leads to a person being elevated. And that leads to a person rushing to do mitzvos, and it leads to cleanliness and precision and humility, and eventually Tchiyas HaMesim and Ruach HaKodesh, the revival of the dead and the divine spirit. So the basic Mesilas Yesharim is built on that brisa, on that ladder, on that, you know, stage by stage way of serving Hashem. And Mesilas Yesharim, you know, expounds on each of these steps in order to be able to serve Hashem. So the basic idea of the Mesilas Yesharim is that there really, you know, there are two ways of looking at how to serve Hashem. One way to look at serving Hashem is, you know, there's so many things we have to do. It's so much. The other way is each thing that we have to do is a gift. It's another way to get close to Hashem. So I'm looking for more and more things to serve, more and more things to do. Mesilas Yesharim and Rav Pinchas ben Yair is focused on that latter point of view. It's such a bracha. I so deeply want to serve Hashem. And since I so deeply want to serve Hashem, I'm so excited that there's more to do and there are so many stages to embrace and to try to get closer and closer to Hashem. These are the two ways. There are those who serve Hashem because they desperately want to do it. And then there are those who don't want to do it, but they feel they have to do it. How do you know if a person is serving Hashem with passion, that he deeply wants to do it, or chas v'shalom, the opposite? You have to look to see if he's doing it with a lot of joy. Those who serve Hashem with tremendous joy shows that they deeply, deeply want to do it. Those who serve Hashem because, okay, they do it, but they don't have so much joy, it means that they don't really want to do it. They feel like they have to do it. But joy is really the sign of great passion in serving Hashem. And maybe that's what was intended by the Avnei Nezer. The Jewish people serve Hashem with tremendous simcha, tremendous joy. They deeply want to do it. The non-Jews, they serve Hashem when they feel like they have to. Bilam says, Lo uchal la'avor es pi Hashem. I can't go against the word of God. It doesn't say I can't go against what God wants. I can't go against what I was told. I can't go against the rules. But I'm not trying to do what God wants. The Jewish people who are serving Hashem with joy, they're rushing to do whatever Hashem wants. The Jewish people go up three regalim, and they give away, or they're mafkir, basically. They put at risk their wealth, their houses, their fields, their livestock, to go do a mitzvah with tremendous joy. The mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim requires joy. V'samachtem usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Be happy before God your Lord. V'samachtem b'chagecha. Celebrate. That's a sign that they are embracing the service of Hashem wholeheartedly. So Bilam, in fact, recognizes that. When Bilam has to give the blessings, Bilam says, Hein am kilavi yakum. Behold, it's a nation that jumps out of bed like a young lion, wakes up with tremendous force and tremendous passion. What do you mean it's a nation that jumps out of bed? What's the big deal of jumping out of bed? Because again, if a person is doing something that he wants to do, so he jumps out of bed to do it. But okay, if it's not something that he wants, he has to. So he drags himself out of bed. He's not jumping out of bed. The Jewish people are am kelavi yakum. They jump out of bed to grab mitzvos, to put on tzitzis, to wear daven, to say shema, wear tefillin, because they have a passion for the mitzvos. And that passion for the mitzvos, that love of mitzvos, is what you don't see in Bilam. Bilam, he has his moments of mitzvos, and then he has his moments of averos. and he never lets go of his gashmius. So the donkey tells Bilam, you're trying to attack the nation of Shalosh Regalim, the nation of three festivals, the nation that runs away from all that it owns with a joy, with an excitement to go to Yerushalayim and to serve Hashem in Yerushalayim. There's no way that you, who are so attached to the physical, will be able to defeat such a nation. And therefore, you've already lost even before you start with what you're trying to do. Shemi Shmuel, in a different year, gave a different explanation for the idea of the Shalosh Regalim, and this is an idea that you find also in Sfas Emes and in Brit Tzadik as well. What's the importance of the Shalosh Regalim? Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Bilam and Avram Avinu were opposites. Bilam was someone with very bad midos, and Avram Avinu was someone with very beautiful midos. So the Mishnah will say, what are the attributes of Bilam Arasha? Ayin Ra'a is a very bad eye, very critical, negative, jealous, vindictive. Ruach Gvoa, very much a braggart, very arrogant, very egotistical. V'nefesh Rechava, and there's like no limit to his appetite. Bilam's appetites were huge. You see that Bilam is very negative, he's looking to curse all the time. You see that Bilam is very, very arrogant, he thinks that he's literally the only person who can tell God what to do. And he has tremendous desires. He wants all of Balak's wealth. He has tremendous appetite. So the Mishnah says anyone who's arrogant, jealous, lustful, is a student of Bilam HaRasha. So the Shemi Shmuel, the Sfas Emes, and others suggest that this perhaps connects to another Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there are three vices that destroy a person's life. Hakina, Hatava, Va'akavod. There are three things that make a person not have a life. Being very jealous of other people, upset that they have successes, wanting to tear them down. Tava, having tremendous desires. And kavod, running after honor, that takes a person out of this world. So maybe ayin ra'a, the bad eye, is kina. Jealous, I'm upset that that person's successful. Ruach gvoa, very, braggadocious, exalted ego and arrogance. That's kavod. It's looking for honor. Everyone needs to honor me. And nefesh rechava, wanting everything, wanting so many things. That's tava. That's lust. So kina tava va'kavod, motzienes adam in ha'olam. And maybe these three vices are what lead to the three big sins that we have in halacha. In halacha, there are three sins that we have to die before we do them. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. So let's start with Shfichus Damim. What was the first episode of murder in the Torah? Right? So what's that all about? Kina. It's about jealousy. Kayin's upset that Hevel's carbon is accepted. And in his jealous, vindictive anger, he kills Hevel. So kina, jealousy, leads to Shfichus Damim. Obviously, nefesh rechava, desire, and taivos, that leads to gilui arayos. Gemara says, nafsh shel adam acham dasan, everyone has a big desire for arayos. Ein apotropos la'arayos. No one should think, I can control myself when it comes to arayos. And then finally, kavod, excess honor, perhaps, or ego, leads to avodah zarah. Because the Gemara says in Sota, any person who has a lot of arrogance, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. So perhaps these three things go together. Gilui Arayos is Tava, or Nefesh Rechava. Kavod, or Ruach Gvoa, that corresponds to Avodah Zarah. And then Kina, Ayin Ra, that corresponds to Ritzicha, to murder. The Maharal said that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we had three ancestors. Why three? Because they had to fix these three sins. And the merit of the three ancestors of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were able to correct these misdeeds. And their merit, we have the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals that give the Jewish people strength to overcome all of these challenges. So in light of that, perhaps we can apply it this way. Pesach is the time when the Jewish people got rid of Avodah Zarah. Because we know that the Egyptians worshipped the sheep. And the Yom Tov of Pesach is about the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach is the sheep. In fact, when the Jewish people are told to take the sheep, the Torah says, Mishchu ukulachem tzon. Pull and take sheep. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Mishchu yadechem me'avodah zarah. Pull your hands away from idol worship. Take the sheep, the idol of Egypt, and get ready to slaughter it as a karban. So Avodah Zarah is fixed through Pesach. Pesach is the time that the Jewish people accepted to be loyal to Hashem. Now we said that the personality flaw that leads to Avodah Zarah is gaava, is arrogance. So what do we have on Pesach? We eat matzah. Mm-hmm. Matzah is lechem oni, poor man's bread. Chametz is arrogant, and we are mevatel chametz, we annul it. We say it's nothing. So Pesach is the antidote to the sin of Avodah Zarah. Shavuos is the time when we get the Torah. Getting the Torah is the antidote to the sin of Gilui Arayos. The Rambam writes that a person who finds himself struggling with negative thoughts about Arayos, he should study Torah. Because the study of Torah is the antidote to the challenges of Gilui Arayos. In fact, how did the Jewish people prepare for Shavuos? They were separated from their wives for 3 days. They had to purify themselves from Gilui Arayos in order to get the Torah on Shavuos. So kavod, the antidote to excess honor, is Pesach, matzah, the bread of affliction, and humility. The antidote to excess urges, Shavuos, is the learning of Torah. And the antidote to murder, the antidote to jealousy, is Sukkos. Because on Sukkos, it's the time of tremendous trust in Hashem. If I have trust in Hashem, there's no reason for me to be jealous of anybody else. Had Kayin had trust in Hashem, he would have trusted that Hashem not accepting his carbon is for his best. What's there for him to be upset about and jealous of Hevel? Hashem gives to each of us exactly what we need. The mitzvah of Sukkos is the lulav, the hadasim, the aravos, the esrog, the different types of Jews. The Jews with Torah and mitzvos, the Jews with Torah without mitzvos, the Jews with mitzvos without Torah, the Jews who don't have Torah and don't have mitzvos, and they're all tied together. And they're all united. Because Sukkos teaches us the opposite of the jealousy, and how to have bitachon, and to be united, and to atone one for the other. And so when we appreciate the three regalim, the three festivals, we have the reversal of Bilam. Because Bilam is the man of, number one, ayin ra, bad eye, jealousy. Number two, ruach gavoa, great arrogance, great ego. And number three, nefesh rechava, tremendous desires and lusts. So when we celebrate Pesach, we overcome Bilam's arrogance. When we celebrate Shavuos, we overcome Bilam's urges. When we celebrate Sukkos and have trust in Hashem, Zman Simchaseinu, we overcome Bilam's jealousies and all of his friction with others. So the donkey tells Bilam, you're trying to beat the Jewish people who celebrate the three festivals? You're the man of Kina Tava V'Kavod. You're the man of jealousy, of urges, of honor. But the Jewish people have the antidote to all of that because they have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So how dare you think you can start up with them? How do you think you can defeat them? Maybe the three blessings that Bilam gives also reflect these themes of these three festivals. Because Bilam wanted to uproot the Jewish people, and Hashem turned it around, that instead it had to be a blessing. How did he want to uproot the Jews? He wanted to uproot the Jews through, you know, getting us to be broken with kina, with tava and kavod. So the first blessing was, Am levadad yishkon, uvagoyim lo yischashav. The Jewish people will live alone, and they won't be counted amongst the other nations. The Jewish people live alone. That we are Hashem's, like on Pesach, Hashem chose us, we become His. We get away from Avodah Zarah. We chose Him and He chose us. The second bracha, Hashem Elokav Imo, God His Lord is with Him. Utruat Melech Bo, and the trumpet of the king is in His midst. As the Targum Unclus writes, Shechinas Malkon Beineon, the Shechinah is amongst the Jewish people. That's Shavuos, when Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem came down on Har Sinai. The Shechinah was in our midst. And then we have the third blessing. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. How good are your tents, Yaakov? And that's a reference to Sukkos, where we sit in a tent. In fact, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov is really a reference to the Beis HaMikdash and to Shuls, Mikdash Ma'at. And a Sukkah is also a residence that has the Shechinah in it. And so each of these three festivals are hinted at through these brachos. And that's what the donkey is telling Bilam. Bilam, you want to destroy the Jewish people? You think you could destroy the Jewish people? This is a nation of three festivals. They have the opposite of Kinah, Tava, V'Kavod. This is a nation of Bitachon. This is a nation of Torah. This is a nation of loyalty to Hashem and humility and leaving Avodah Zarah. This is the nation of the three festivals. There's no way you can defeat them. So what are you doing starting up with them? And when Bilam eventually realizes that, Hashem forces him to realize it by putting in his mouth the words that would bless the Jewish people and bless them with these three blessings, with these three elements. That's another idea that the Shem Yishmuel has here about the donkey and Bilam. Yeah, question.
Did we answer how he became a prophet? I mean, how he is able to talk to God if he's got all these negative traits?
Mm-hmm. So the simple explanation is that he was, what do they call, schizophrenic, right? He had his moments. He had his moment that he was all godly, and then he had his moment that he was all material, and he really never worked on his body and conquered himself and changed his character. It was just a moment when he would be there for God. The Gemara says something else. The Gemara says that he really didn't deserve prophecy. Because of his behavior, he should have lost prophecy. But Hashem allowed him to be a prophet to take away an argument of the nations. The nations might say, why, Hashem, do you like the Jews? They had a great man, they had Moshe Rabbeinu. If we would have had someone like Moshe, we would also be like the Jews. So Hashem says, okay, I'm going to give someone the prophecy of Moshe, and he'll be even worse. See, I'll give a Bilam, a member of your group, the prophecy that has the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. And look at what he does with it. He uses it to make money, to curse people, to reward his friends, to hurt his enemies, to justify all sorts of sinful behaviors. So Hashem gave Bilam the prophecy, not because he deserved it, but more to build the case that the Jewish people have prophecy and Torah because we deserve it, and he didn't deserve it. Let's take it away from him. Thank you. I wish you'd have a wonderful night.